Welcome back. You're here with Dave and Faisal on 770 CHQR and More Than Money. The number one topic on everybody's mind right now is what's happening with the Russia-Ukraine situation. Certainly there's a humanitarian issue. There's economic potential impacts. And then how far does this go, Faisal, is really becoming a bigger and bigger question and concern for many people.
And it's spreading beyond Ukraine. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not just an impact in that region. It goes beyond that. But let's kind of get a sense of what the issues are and what are some of the solutions to this problem. At the end of the day, we want to, of course, bring in our guest, Eric Miller, President Rideau Potomac Strategy Group and fellow Canadian Global Affairs Institute. Bring him along. Eric, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you very much for having me.
Eric, we've got 10 minutes to try to do justice to a very, very big concern. Maybe you can give us a sense of where we are today with the Russia-Ukraine situation. And maybe just define what the problem is, the what we think the goals that Russia is trying to accomplish, and then we can talk about where we think some of the solutions to this particular problem may lay.
Sure. Well, Russia at base is trying to relitigate the end of the Cold War. They really believe in their heart of hearts that Ukraine is fundamentally linked to Russia and do not accept Ukrainian independence. And now they believe that they have the military means to assert their view on the people of Ukraine. Ukraine is a democratic country. It is a country that has increasingly been leaning to the West and moving out of the Russian sphere of influence. And to an ultra-nationalist like Vladimir Putin, that is something that is very, very worrisome. And so, in essence, what we're seeing is Putin making a bid to reestablish the Russian Empire, which in his view includes Ukraine as an integral member.
Okay. Given that particular set of goals or specific goal for Russia, we're seeing this evolve and it's dynamic. So, you know, by the time this airs, it will have changed again. But maybe give us a sense of what we can expect over the course of the next coming, I don't know, days or weeks. And then we'll get to solutions, what we think the potential solutions may be.
Sure. So, as of the time of recording, there has been a lot of fighting in Ukraine. Russian troops were closing in on the outskirts of Kiev. The Ukrainians are putting up a fierce resistance, as we have seen, and as they have promised. You're starting to see also refugees flowing from the central part of Ukraine to Lviv and other parts of the country and beyond into Western Europe. And so the situation is bad in many respects for Ukrainians, and they have not faced any resistance from the outside. So the Ukrainians are doing their best to fight street by street and kilometer by kilometer to maintain their sovereignty. But against a force of 100,000+ Russian troops, that's a very hard slog.
There's a lot of impact on this because of a humanitarian side of it. There's also an economic impact to this. When we look at where the world is trying to influence Russia to step back from this, they're trying to put in sanctions and so forth. We've also heard that there might be opportunities for a change in how the production levels of energy or oil production being sanctioned there, possibly the financial system mm-hmm. called SWIFT and how money moves around there. Are these sanctions going to work without any military impact? Like, how much can these governments do? Because at some point, it's going to impact themselves. And let me give you an example. If they cut the production, up goes the price of oil. That impacts inflation on the average person in North America who's not even close to this issue. And so that's going to be a concern to them. How does it become from sanction to solution, or does it have to be military at the end of the day?
So fundamentally, let's talk about the sanctions and the energy piece. President Biden yesterday in his press conference excluded energy from the sanctions. So in essence, Russia can still sell oil onto the world market. And Russia is the third largest energy producer. And so perversely, you're in this situation where the instability created by Russia is actually enriching Russia through higher petroleum prices. And so mm-hmm. there is no stop to this. If you want to, I mean, fundamentally, my view is it's going to have to be military, but there are a number of things that you could look at. We have not seen any efforts by the UK to go after some of the assets of Putin's closest friends. Roman Abramovich, for example, still owns Chelsea FC. The Russian elite still own all of their homes in London. There is no change in that situation, nor do I anticipate that there will be a change in that situation. And also on the oil front, yes, indeed, if you had put an oil embargo, you would have taken a big number of barrels out of production and you would have seen the price skyrocket. But this goes back fundamentally to decisions that we made 10 years ago. Had the government of Barack Obama, of which Joe Biden was vice president, not blocked the Keystone XL pipeline, not blocked a lot of forward motion on energy infrastructure, had Energy East gone into place, we would have been in a situation where North America would have been much more self-sufficient and efficient in supplying its own energy needs. Oil is obviously a global commodity, and there would be an impact. But we have to also take a look back at our ability to get oil to market where it needs to be, and our ability to weather these sorts of storms. It's crazy that Eastern Canada is importing 500,000 barrels a day from Russia when it could be buying from Alberta or buying from other more secure sources. And so we're going to see this big impact. And at the end of the day, we have not put ourselves in this position where we're as resilient as we could be on the energy front. And of course, you're seeing skyrocketing prices on wheat, nickel, and a whole range of other commodities.
Eric, we've got a couple of minutes left before we have to go to commercial break. And unfortunately, we don't have all the time to talk about this subject in total. But if you were to walk us through, in your view, the next three or four things that are going to happen that could either solve this issue or continue the conflict, what would you predict as the next three or four things that are going to happen?
So fundamentally, we saw this morning the Russian Foreign Ministry issue a statement warning Finland and Sweden that are not members of NATO to, quote, not count on outsiders for their security, which is an implicit statement that Russia is threatening them. Russia has now taken the hit here, so they will be on the move trying to assert their authority, not only over Ukraine, but you also have to think about the Baltic states and others in Europe who they can bully and push. The other piece that you've got to watch very closely is Taiwan, because if the government of China does not believe that the United States will come to Taiwan's aid, then they will face a very grave security situation. We had American hegemony and broadly Western hegemony for a long time, which kept a lot of these bad actors contained. And indeed, in 1990, we saw George H.W. Bush throwing Saddam Hussein out of Kuwait. But we don't have that situation now. And so the bad actors with grudges are going to be able to do what they can until it gets to the point where the West will have to pull itself together and go and blunt this advance militarily. And you start not with ground troops, but frankly with air power.
Well, it sounds like this conflict is going to be with us for a little while. We're going to have to... It's dynamic, as Eric, as you've said, as we've said, right? This is going to evolve, and we will see how the negotiations go. We hope it doesn't get to a full military conflict, but I guess that is, unfortunately, one of the potential outcomes. Okay. Eric, thank you. We've not been able to... we don't have enough time to do justice to this. What we might do is keep in touch for sort of regular updates with you on how things are evolving and how the potential solutions are coming together. But we thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Okay, we've been joined by Eric Miller, President, Rideau Potomac Strategy Group. He's also a fellow in the Canadian Global Affairs Institute. All right, my friend, there are conflicts and problems and risks and concerns all the time. Unfortunately, the Ukrainians, and we're dealing with this Ukrainian situation right now, but it's not to say 5 years from now there isn't a different problem. And people are going to retire, and they're going to retire for a long period of time. And we've got to get through all of these different kinds of situations. How do you do that?
How do you protect yourself? How do you make sure you are protecting not only your cash flow, but your entire retirement lifestyle?
Yeah.
We're going to talk about that on Tuesday, March 29th, 7 p.m. live online. You need to register for this. So go to morethanmoneyradio.com to register.
Okay, markets have started out this year for a number of reasons down. People are worried. What do you do about it? Stick around after the break. You're on 770 CHQR and More Than Money.